Welcome to Keys to the Culture podcast. It's your hostess with the mostest, Myesha, and this is a place where we celebrate creators and innovators who shape the culture around us in the creator economy one post at a time. So in other words, we're rooting for everybody black. This guest today is none other than a Renaissance man. He is an actor, he is a rapper, he is a director from North Long Beach, California. Long Beach? You know, I'm from the east side. So he has graced us on several films and television, such as Nate Parker and Spike Lee's American Skin, as well as NBC's Young Rock. He also goes viral with his skits on social media. He is somewhat of an influencer. He has 4 mixtapes and also released his freshman album, last year. And this man is continuously growing and flourishing online. Help me welcome Anthony Durrell. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey.
That was a great introduction.
Hey, come on now. That's
yes,
what I do.
I love it.
So before we begin, I have one question for you. Sure. When did you know that black creativity was the culture?
You know what? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think I realized really, really young. My stepmother took me and my brother out to Texas to go visit her father. Mm-hmm. And he owned a black art gallery. Mm. And I had really been in art. I've always been in art. I draw and I paint and stuff. I'm still to this day. So I had never known what a black art gallery was. Mm-hmm. And they were like deep in the heart of Texas, but they had a very nice home. They had a backyard with snow. Coming from the hood, I didn't see that. So to see how good they were living, and he had his own black art gallery where he actually sold his art. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I could sell art? I can sell these things? Most of the people in the store were white. Mm-hmm. And he had like black, like pro-black art on the walls.
Amazing.
So he proceeds to take us home and tell us about our culture. And he has us watch several black films. Mm. Shaka Zulu, watched it all the way through. Stormy Weather, which is one of my favorite musicals, like slash films. Cabin in the Sky, which is literally one of my favorite films still to this day. And it's mm-hmm. a black and white play slash film. Beautiful. And then I started to realize as I grew up how many other cultures were mimicking and taking, like we were like a tree and they were taking.
Come on.
They were taking and then try to make a spin. I'm like, that's not how we do it, but okay. You know?
Right.
So I think very young, as I'm paying attention to things around me and noticing how other entities and other people were trying to mimic us.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying it's not other races that they do it from, but a lot of things stem from our people. I really
feel
like that. Young, at a young age, I realized that.
Yeah, we are the blueprint.
Yes.
Yeah, and I see touches of us everywhere.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing to see our creativity being shown to the masses, but at the same mm-hmm. time, it has to be a point where it comes back to us mm-hmm. and we're able to profit off of us.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? So, you know, just as a black man growing up in North Long Beach, like how was life growing up?
Okay, so I moved to Long Beach the summer of sixth grade. But I moved around. We lived in Compton for a while. Mm-hmm. Went to school in Compton. I started school in Lanewood. That's where like my family is originally from. So Washington Elementary is where I started. We lived in Bellflower, lived in Compton, another beach city. But I settled in North Long Beach the summer in sixth grade, and it was still wild over there at the time because mm-hmm. we were like right across the street from the Carmelitos. And it was wild, but the building that we stayed in was like a community because everybody in mm-hmm. there was from different hoods. You had about 2 or 3 different hoods in there, but everybody got along. And in the middle of this building was this pool, but you had people that stayed upstairs and downstairs, and it was shaped like a horseshoe. And it was like our own community. So mm-hmm. even though it was a lot going on, we knew we were protected in this space and time.
Yeah.
We were never allowed to go across the street to the Carmel Hills. It was still bad in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of my firsts, you know, seen a lot of firsts. Experienced a lot of firsts, and it really molded me to become who I am and really, you know, experience life from a different perspective, so many different cultures. And mm-hmm. I went to school with a lot of cats from the east side, so that's how I know a lot of them. You know, we play football together, and, you know, I'm not knowing why when, you know, we get out of school, I don't see them, but they catching the bus all the way from the east, you know what I'm saying? They probably got kicked out of school, ain't no telling, you know what I'm saying? They had to come to the J, so... for me, it was on the north side, even though it was the north, it was a melting pot because you had people from Lakewood, Bellflower, and you know what I mean? So, it was interesting to say the least.
I know. You know what? Long Beach is like one of those cities that's just a gumbo of people. Yeah, like, you get a little bit of every different culture. You get people from all around the world there, and we just all just get along, and we're able to, like, just have a community together. Even though, you know, some rough patches here and there, you know. But at the same time, we all can come together and be like, okay, I can go downtown. I can go to Cambodian town.
It's crazy that you say that, because the only time I went to the East is when we snuck over there to go to house parties. Unless you knew somebody over there, you weren't supposed to be at, you know what I'm saying?
No, you weren't.
That's a party on the East. I'm like, I wish, you know what I'm saying? But as I grew and I started to learn and meet more people, you know what I'm saying, I was able to slide in there and they'd be,
period.
Oh, what's up, bro? You know what I'm saying? Right. Okay, you good? Who you here with? I'm Dolo. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, but now that I'm older and I'm moving around more, I'm seeing so many different sides of Long Beach that I didn't know existed, you know?
Yeah.
There's a very eclectic side of Long Beach that, you know, I'm able to experience now, especially being an artist, being a photographer, videographer. Yes. I like to shoot a lot down there. I'll sometimes just drive around and get lost somewhere in the city just looking for locations to shoot at.
That's,
you know,
beautiful.
So yeah, it's beautiful to me. Like, anybody who asks me about Long Beach, I'm saying it's a mixture of so many different cultures, you know. Mm-hmm. Going to school with a lot of Samoans, and I didn't know what a Samoan was, you know.
Right.
Until I seen him, I was like, that's a big ass Asian dude. I didn't know what it was. I was a kid, but then I was like, no, that's a Samoan. And I started seeing more of them and their culture, and then they started to move into our building, so they became our brothers. It's crazy how it was like you were forced to literally, you know what I'm saying? It was like their dad was our dad, and our dad was their dad, but we are two different races, and you know what I mean? Like, he get in trouble, I'm kind of in trouble with him, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we two different, you know, races and two different backgrounds. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I think that's really the beauty of Long Beach, yeah.
Yeah. So, what was like your soundtrack growing up, because you're into music, he's a rapper, y'all, and also poet, let's keep it clear. But you know, what was your soundtrack growing up? Because I mean, me personally, I had a little bit of everything, the oldies, and then I grew up on gangster rap, you know, and then R&B. So like, what was your soundtrack growing up? What was like those artists that you would hear all the time?
So many, because back in the day when my mom's wasn't working, this is when we lived in Bellflower, and I remember these moments like crazy. Even when we lived in like other beach cities, my mom and my auntie would play nonstop Mary J. Blige, you know, Patti LaBelle, and you know, even growing up, my whole family we always listened to music. And growing up, our family was a lot closer, so we always had events and something going on, and it was so much soulful music that you were kind of forced to fall in love with because you heard it all the time, and you know, it became the instrumental to my life. So depending on this, how I can answer that question, depending on what I'm going through and where I was staying at and where I was living at and where I was in my life, that was the soundtrack. Because there was a time where Donnell Jones, Where I Want to Be, that album was the soundtrack of my life. Music Soul Child, you know, all the albums. So it really just depended on where I was, you know. But West High Connection was my favorite group. Ice Cube was my favorite rapper. But there was a point in time where different artists played more of a time in my life. Like, when I started to really, I've always been a lover boy, writing poems and stuff like that, when it came to the women and romantic and stuff. But as I got older and started to learn more about expressing myself, different artists I would pick from, like, oh, wow, I've never thought about saying it like that, you know? So, it just really depends. But I listen to jazz, neo-soul, pop, country, whatever.
Everything
just feels good to me, you know. It's nothing's off limits. So
that's amazing. Like, when did you really tap into your creativity? Have you always known that you were like a creative?
No, I just knew that I like to entertain people. You know, when I was younger, I wanted to be on you remember the show Nickelodeon, All That?
Oh yes.
Okay, so I wanted to be on All That so bad.
I did.
And
too.
You know, man, like, who didn't want to be on All That? You know, watching that and the Legends of the Hidden Temple, that was the shit.
That was the time.
You back. Yeah, that was a whole different time.
Yes.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. Hey, Arnold. Come on now.
All right, I'm gonna chill.
Listen.
I Real Monsters. All right, I'm gonna chill.
Okay.
No, but so back in that era, like, it was a lot of different things that we were. Wait, give me the question one more time. What was your question?
So when did you know that you were creative? Like, when was that? Like, you realized I was a creative, you know, and I love doing this.
Yeah. When I wanted to be on All That, it was because I watched the show a lot. And I saw that these kids were entertaining us like I did the family. You know, I'm the one that's imitating people. I'm drawing funny pictures of my dad and showing it to the family, got the family laughing. I've just always been the entertainer. They were like, yeah, do that thing you do. I was always putting on the show for the family. And I saw these kids doing it on TV. I'm like, I could do that. But, you know, growing up in the hood, don't nobody really... You ain't gonna be no actor.
Come
Shut up, boy. Come on. What? Actor, man. What? Shut up, boy. But my grandmother, was different, you know? So I was like, Grandma, I want to be an actor. I want to be on all that. So I wrote a letter to all that, like, hey, I'm funny. Wow. My name is Anthony. You know, I want to be on the show. I watch it all the time. And I gave it to my grandma. She sent it off for me. So I was like, you sent it off? She's like, yeah, I sent it off. But that ain't how you get on TV. I know that
right now.
Now that I'm on TV. But it was just so sweet that she was the one that didn't say, like, actor, are you serious? It was literally like she took it and was like, okay, I'm going to send it off for you. So for all I know, she could have kept it and still had it, you know? But yeah, it was that moment where I started to really realize that I like to entertain people. And then growing up and becoming the class clown. Mm-hmm. 2004, Jordan High School yearbook, I'm class clown in the book.
Oh, my God.
And it started, I had a teacher named Allison Lopridge. She's this white lady. We're still friends to this day. Mm-hmm. Actually did headshots for her daughter sometime last year. Wow. But I reached out to her because I used to drive this white lady crazy. Mm-hmm. Up the wall, like, you know, the Chinese dividers.
Yeah,
she had me in one of those in the back of the class in the corner, but she had it around me because I was nonstop, like, making people laugh, God, just bagging on people. It was just bad. And but she did not turn her back on me. She took a liking to me, and she would say, you should be an actor. I ain't no actor, because I've got told so many times, you can't be no actor. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna be no actor. And the lady was like, you should be an actor. She was like, I'm an actress, but you have more charisma than me at your young age. She would say this to me all the time. So we had a conversation about it to this day, that she was the person outside of my family, or outside of my grandmother, but she was the one that was like, you should be an actor.
Wow.
And I didn't pay any attention to it until I got older and I started to meet more people who were acting, and it just started to align, and I always went back to that. So I had to go find her when I landed my first gig. I said, I got to go find her and tell her. I looked up on Facebook, and we've been locked in ever since.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Allison Lopridge is her name. Yeah.
Listen, shout out to Allison.
Yes.
You know what's crazy is that, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be actress too. And I loved all that, everything, you know, and I was in drama too.
Yeah,
people don't know that. That's what I did. And also, you know, I was into, like, Mad TV.
What?
The skits. Come on now. The Living Color. And, like, that whole time was so different.
Yeah, it was.
And just like the amount of talent that came out of those shows and watching people.
You know
flourish.
What it was? And not to interrupt you, I think what it was is it goes back to the question you asked me in the beginning. When did I realize black people were what?
Yeah.
Back then, like, even when I went back to watch some In Living Color clips the other night. And I watched how Keenan Ivory Wayans came out and he introduced the show. And I'm like, we don't have that no more.
We don't.
And back then, it was a time, Homie Don't Play That, Fire Marshal Bill, all these different characters that they came up with on the show, they were able to do what they wanted to do.
Exactly.
What did he say? That's part of the theme song. We can do what we want to do and live in color.
Yep.
They stripped that away. So, you know, now it's no essence. It's like the very, you know what it is? The very flavor of life, I feel like, is missing. And I drive around randomly and I think that, like, this life that we living in now just is lacking something. And now that I think about it, sitting here with you, I'm like, it's flavor. We lacking flavor. Our people are so against each other and so restricted from how we can express ourselves that we don't do a lot of expressing. You know what I mean? And if we do, it's filtered through something else. Or somebody, that's too much. But that's black, though. That's for us. You know, it's really nothing for us. And I feel like we're missing flavor.
Yeah. You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, it's been moments where I'll be like, I want to do this and I want to do that. And then I'll stop myself from doing it. I'll be like, nah, maybe I shouldn't do it. You know, as we get older, a lot of our creativity and our desire to do things that are different and to just be authentic to ourselves, kids have that. You look at kids, they have it.
Yeah.
But when you get older and then people are telling you can't do this, you can't do that, and it starts to strip away that creativity, and then you're just like, maybe I shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we have to put that back in the kids, y'all. We really do.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I still do what I do, regardless of what I have going on in my life. And people ask me, how do you work and you act and you rap, and you do photography, you do videography? I have to make time to do it. It's either I do that or I get 50-some years old. And I'm like, I could have did it, but I was sleepy. Or I could have did it, but I was working. Like, I got to figure it out. Even if I got to take some time off and... say I'm not getting no auditions.
Yeah.
I'm back on music. Same nothing happening with music. I'm doing short films.
Yeah.
It's something going on that I could be doing. Yeah, something. You know what I'm saying? If I got some downtime, I'm going to do something. If I had, let's say I ain't got nobody calling my phone for a role, Nobody want to get on a song with me. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like writing no music. Then I'm looking around, I'm like, well, what can I go out and just film with my camera? I can go out and practice and work on my craft. You know what I mean? I'm just listening to some beats. So I'm going to, you know, do something to find some way to express myself, because people will tear you down, but I come to find that that's a lot of people's own insecurities, you know?
Yes.
Like, for instance, what if I wouldn't have pushed past what my family told me when they said I couldn't be no actor or you weren't going to make it, you know? Mm-hmm. Now you know, I always knew you was going, you know, and it's not just them. I experienced that with my family first. So now when I experience it out in the world, I know how to reverse that and be like,
absolutely.
Even when people make comments about themselves, about not being able to do things, that's triggering for me, because now I'm snapping into action, trying to figure out ways, like, what is it that you do exactly? So I can try to plug you in with somebody, even if I'm not in the same field.
Same.
Let me. Don't say that. Don't. What do you mean? You quit? What? Right. No, what is the problem? What are you doing wrong?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Let me plug. Because again, I've been in that space. I was younger, but I've been in that space. I've had people test that theory.
Yes.
Like people who were supposed to be mentors. It was like, well, how you going to act and rap? You can't do both. And at this time, not anymore, but at this time, a big idol of mine was Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Will Smith acting rap, Jamie Foxx acting rap. How do you tell me that I can't act? Oh, this is a test if I really want this or not, because I could just say, yeah, you're right, and just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I can ever be that for somebody else,
absolutely.
What it's about.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Definitely try to encourage so many people.
Yeah.
You know, and you see the spark in them too.
Yeah.
People see the spark in you, and they know when you are talented and you are skilled.
Right.
But a lot of times, like you said, it's their own insecurities reflected on you.
Yeah.
But you got to push past that.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing that you do. And speaking of sketches, you do social media, like, and you're going viral.
Yeah.
Like, your skits are so funny, and you collaborate with people. So talk to me about, like, your journey through social media, and how have you like really grown your audience through your social media channel?
If he were to hear me say this, he'll as humble as he is, he'd be like, nah, doggy, it's all you. But it's definitely a big job.
Yeah.
Definitely. But if I go a step further, I can say Jahan Jones, because Jahan, even though I have not shot anything with him, he was the one that invited me to his party. Now, he randomly sent me an invite to his party. I was at the house with my best friend. Her cousin was in town. We was just chilling. I don't know if I had just got done at the studio. I don't know. But we were trying to figure out something to get into. And Jahan sent me an invite to a release he had for a party. And it was for Juice, a film he had coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit up Young from Cali Swag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, you want to hit this event with me? He's like, yeah. So I picked him up. We went to this premiere. That's where I met Kel from Kenan and Kel. And I told you that was my show. So
we took
an iconic picture. And I'm like, okay, this is a cool vibe. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing different, you know, celebrities in the building. And I had on a Jerry Curl, because it was an 80s event. I had on Jerry Curl. Mm-hmm. I had on some, like, some tights. And I had, like, this little retro, little swishy jacket. And I'm sitting there by the bathrooms, and I'm probably like the biggest dude in the building. And I look up, and I'm like, who's this big ass dude coming down the hallway? Big old
yes.
dude. He activated my alpha energy. I'm like, man, he bigger than me. He walked by, he get up to me, and he's like, hey, bro. I'm like, what's happening? He was like, you know, the restaurant man, brother. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's over there. You know, so humble, so respectful. And I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. That was old boy from the... I had seen some of his skits on Facebook. So I wanted to just walk away, but something told me, like, nah, stay in, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
So he came out, and before I could even say anything, he said, hey, man, appreciate you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me want to talk to him even more, because where I come from, dudes don't act like that. You know, they don't have manners. They don't say please and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked different. He got Chucks on. What's something about this dude? In his energy, he don't seem like a Mark or a Buster, but he's respectful. I want to work with this dude. So I say, hey, yo, man, you know, I act and stuff, you know. He said, oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, we got to work then. But I hear we got to work all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, for sure. So we exchanged information. And I DM'd him, like, yo, man, it was nice meeting you. And next thing I know, he would start to comment and like different posts. I'm like, okay, actually, you know, he rocking with me.
Yeah.
And he DM'd me and was like, yo, bro, I got this skit. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea if you want to do it. I said, yeah, for sure. He shoot me the address. His North High is super far. So I'm just like, damn, okay, I want to do this. Let me drive out here.
Yeah, let's do it.
I got there, he told me about the skit, and he was like, all right, so we finna go into it. Now, remind you, there was no script. He just told me, like, so yeah, you play football, this your wife. It was this lady named Tangerine, she's a comedian as well, I seen her, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, and this my girl, and this was Sade. I had been seeing her online. I'm like, damn, like, Then Ken Edwin, he was filming, which is another comedian who I'm just like, I just got thrown in a room.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Like, you asked for this. You said,
here
if
you go.
I prayed. I was like, just give me an opportunity. Just give me an opportunity. I'm going to show I can really do this. And when I walked into the house, I was like, oh. Like, it was just overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I locked in and was like, man, you do this. You've been doing this since you was a kid.
Period.
The first gig we did was I'm Coming Too. And I got so comfortable, I started improvising and other stuff. And he started letting me keep it in there. And the first gig we did, I think now it's at like 6 point something million views.
Wow.
On Facebook, yeah, and it did crazy numbers. And after that, people were like, "Who was that? I want to work with him."
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started to work with different people in the
yeah.
business, because I was shooting with Josh, and Josh was like, "Bro, you really go." Because we were a lot of that. Most of the stuff me and Josh shoot, 99% of the stuff me and Josh shoot, he'd be like, "Yo, this is what we doing. This is what we doing. Go." And we'd turn the cameras on, and we'll just go.
Crazy.
Yeah, and it's a lot of pressure because I'm used to being a cat in a room that can just. Off the top of the
yeah.
head. So have somebody go that's challenging me. It's like double dutch, low key.
You know what I'm saying? That.
Yeah. So we be going. Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah. So that's how it happened. And from there with different people, you know, anybody who has scripts or they had problems or issues with coming up with lines,
mm-hmm.
I'll say this. Oh, you got an ending? Oh, I'm trying to think of the ending. The ending should be this. For sure. And then it started, I want to work with you again. So I started shooting with more and more people and then it just spread out.
That's
know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
So how fast did you start growing online after you like did those skits?
It was a slow roast, and it still is. And
that's,
you know, because I like to be honest and transparent.
Yeah.
When we first started out, YouTube wasn't even like, people weren't making money on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know who Anthony Hayward is.
Yes, I do.
Anthony Hayward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We went to high school together. That was one of my very, very close friends. When my house burned down in high school, I didn't have nothing. Like, we went
wow.
to Walmart. I think I had on like basketball shorts and t-shirts, and that's all I was wearing every day in flip-flops. And Snoop Dogg had just came out with his clothing line. So Anna brought me like a couple packs of like jeans, brand new in the pack, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can have some jeans to wear, you know? But we've been locked in since we was in high school. So we started a comedy group after high school. We started filming and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Wow.
And then everybody started falling off. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh man, this is now, oh, my twist my ankle. Oh, I got a hangnail. I can't make it. And people stopped coming and then I lost the spark of it all,
mm-hmm.
you know? And at this time we were shooting a little short film. We shooting with little mini cameras, like cameras. We didn't have that yet.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But from there, you know, fast forward up to where we are now is, I just do all this stuff by myself. Like when I shoot skits and stuff, I got to come up with it by myself. I got to cast it. I got to go to the location, pack my camera equipment up, go up there, set it up. All right, so you saying this, and I'm going to say this. Then when I say that, you say this. Then you say this to him,
mm-hmm.
and then cut, and I'll tell y'all the next part. Press record, and then we do it, and then boom, 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 boom.
Crazy.
And then we do that multiple times, break down the camera, take it home, edit it, put it out.
Sheesh.
And then hope that something, and the stuff that goes viral is stuff that I don't expect. Like one of the first clips that went really, really viral was a clip from a Cuddle Season, the series that me, Jai, and Dean has,
mm-hmm.
Dean Will.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Tubi. It's called Cuddle Season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a clip that I posted from that on my Facebook. And I was trying to get my Facebook popping, but I'm like, everything I posted ain't doing nothing. Ain't doing no
yeah,
traction,
yeah.
but that don't mean nothing. I got to keep going. I know
mm-hmm.
how I go. And out of nowhere, this clip, it did like a million views. And people were just, I had so many different
wow.
followers. So now I went from trying to get like, I think in order for you to be eligible to be monetized, you got to have 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 or something
yeah.
like that. And I'm at 16,000. I just checked the other day. And I was like, damn, I got to 16. I stopped paying attention. I was just doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, so I got to shoot 3 skits tomorrow. No, 4. No, one skit tomorrow, then like 4 skits on Sunday. And then, yeah.
It's just nonstop.
And
I love it.
Yeah. Ain't no plan B. If I don't do it, I'm going to sit up and wish I did.
Listen, I don't live with regrets, okay?
Yeah.
I'm out here just, listen, I'm going to do it.
As you should.
Yeah, because why not?
Yeah.
We only live once.
Because what?
Because why not?
Because why not? That should go on the hoodie. Because
why?
Yeah, for real.
Because why not?
I said it here first, folks.
Come on. Come on.
Why not?
Come on.
No, for real. That's
and
why
like,
not.
Thank you. And like for social media, you know, there's some people that say you have to have like a certain formula that
mm-hmm.
works with social media. But, you know, when I talk to influencers and
mm-hmm.
people, they just like, just do the work. Just
mm-hmm.
just post. Is there a certain formula that you think that works that people can start to implement? Because it's a lot of people who want to get started on social media.
Both things are true.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a formula. To say it's not a formula would be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to figure out what your formula is,
mm-hmm.
what your audience is. Once you figure out your niche and you figure out the people that are coming to your page, what do they like to see? What do they like to see you in? What gets the most responses? And whatever that is, that's your formula.
Yeah.
It might, I can't post Desi Banks. I could post Desi Banks skits, but then I would have to keep that up, and that's not my brand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not my niche. I know I do other things.
Yeah.
So even with that, I can only give things so much attention, and whatever grows and whatever grows. Like, my method of spreading out is different from some others. Some people just like, I'm going to work on this right here. I'm going to stay at this. Me, I'm like, Oh, okay. I'm trying to plant and water everything I can. You know what I mean? And whatever grows is going to grow. I don't know. I go with wherever life takes me. You know, if something ain't working out, I don't get, oh, why isn't it working? I'm like, okay, well, what else can I do? What else should I do? Have I done everything I could here? Okay, I got to like let life and time take care of that. You know, this obviously ain't ready yet. It's like dating somebody who isn't quite mature yet. And I remember I said this in a quote one day. It was one of the smoothest things I ever said.
Come on.
I said, you know what? You like my favorite fruit that just isn't ripe yet. And I didn't have to explain to her what I meant. You know what I mean? So once you figure out what that is for you, then that's what
it is.
But other than that, you know, don't force it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right on time.
Yeah.
But,
What you guys
thinking about relationships and stuff.
It's a topic in itself.
That's a whole topic. Yeah. And, you know, like, when it comes to social media, just to get back on topic, you know, like, I feel like there's so many Black creators out there who are doing the work. And we talked about monetization. Like, a lot of people don't get monetized or... Hello, are they not getting paid just due to them because other non-Black creators will mimic their work and then they start getting money for it? I mean, it was another young lady, I forgot she was an artist, and she did a song. I can't remember the name of the song.
I think I remember you talking about it. I'm
yeah.
the
one yes.
Yeah, I was talking about that the other day. Yeah.
And this young man who was a different ethnicity, created it over. He redid it and he started going like crazy viral. Like, and I know he got paid out.
Yeah.
So it's like it's our creativity. Like, we go back to the first question. When did you know Black creativity was a culture? It is a culture because it shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Black creators on social media, like, how could we be more present? How could we start to monetize? And what ways can we take more power and control over the content we create?
I would say professionalism. That's a big thing, and that's something that I've run into a lot. And I would never, like, drop names, you know. But I've learned very fast in this very small but big skit world that it's literally like a lot of creatives on top of a lot of creatives. And every blue moon, you'll find somebody like a Big Jai. And I don't say this because of his platform. Like, we have these conversations. He's never, like, I've been around so many people, and even being in the streets and stuff, you learn how to pay attention to people's mannerisms, and I read people very well.
Yeah.
He's never blocked an opportunity from nobody. I watched, before he got married, I would watch how he behaved on set with the women.
Yeah.
Even when they left the room.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I want to see how he act, like, if he going to talk about them crazy. He never did. He made sure that the men respected the women. He made sure the women were comfortable.
Come on.
And I'm watching him like... This is why so many people gravitate to him, because the amount of professionalism and the fact that he does not block opportunities from nobody. He don't let people get disrespected in front. Like, he don't want nobody in the room to feel smaller than him. It's never a I'm Big Jai type of thing.
Yeah.
And the skit world or the social media world, it lacks that. You have so many people like, look at me. It's a very big pool of insecure people who have a spotlight on them, and they want to keep it on them as much as possible, not understanding the fact that, yo, if you just back the light up a little bit more and you just scoot in right here, we can both get some light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not everybody sees it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had issues with people to where that I've always wanted to shoot with, and the main reason why we aren't talking and many people around them is because I have to stand on business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I'm going to ask you your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. If I write, I film it, I cast it, I act in it, I edit it, and I put it up.
Mm-hmm.
That should be mine, right?
Absolutely.
Now, let's just say this other person has a writer, has an editor, and has a cameraman
mm-hmm.
that they pay.
Absolutely.
That's theirs because they pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if this person come to me and say, hey, that you got that I was in, I want that for me.
No.
I want to post it because I'm going crazy. I'm making mad money over here. And I want to post it. And I'm like, okay, well, do I get a percent? Nah, that ain't what we do. Like, I want to keep. So from stuff like that, I'm like, who do you think? Like, in what other business in the world do you think a person can just say, because we work together, like on a song? That's
right,
like somebody
right.
saying, let me get that whole song because, like, I posted it, I made $35. If you post it, you're going to make $3,500. You don't want to give me
mm-hmm.
nothing?
Right.
Yeah, nah.
That ain't going to work.
So when I start to hear that it's an issue, that's an issue? Oh, well, maybe we're not as cool as I thought we were. I don't just give my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to have a conversation with certain people and they not understand just the value of people and the value of energy and the value of relationships. Like,
absolutely.
You should not want to make me feel no more smaller than the world already makes us feel. If anything, you should want to lead by example and say, yeah, I'm going to do right by you by business just because of where we are. Like you said, like, why, how can we be more? It's so many people being against each other other than trying to come together. So many egos and so many people that would see a person like myself and be like, oh, well, he act and he rap and he do all that. He thinks he's this. No, I'm still trying to find myself just as much as the next person.
Absolutely.
I had a conversation with myself today. All right, and we got a lot of stuff we got to drop. You working, but you're not working hard enough, bro. These are conversations I have with myself, you know?
Yeah.
So if I know that I put my blood, sweat, and tears into something, I'm not going to just give it to somebody.
Yeah.
And I feel like if people don't value you, it's because they don't really value themselves. You know, they value the content, they
That's
value
good.
The money, which is, it's not, you know what I mean? It only has as much value as you place on it. To me, I value relationships.
Yeah.
So if Ja called me and say, yo, bro, I need you to drive to film this, da, da, da. I ain't got nothing to pay you right now, but you know, I need you. It's a 2-hour drive. I'm going to get up and drive.
Period.
And it's not because he has the big platform. It's because of who he's always been.
Yeah.
He's never, you know what I'm saying? Try to take the shine or try to beat it. You know, it's never been that. It's always been, let's just create. Let's make something. We don't know what this could do for all of us and our families.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have one person trying to hold the light and it's like, you don't want to share it, how are we going to light the whole set if you're trying to hold the light? You
Come
know what
on
I mean?
Now.
So I feel like the professionalism and just really having respect for the people that you're working with and understanding that everybody plays a part. Even if a person got a one-liner.
Yeah.
Everybody let him get his one line off. You know what I'm saying? Because this could be the thing that the fans will be like, oh boy, with the one line, he killed it. You never know. That's why Ezell was such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
He got typecasted, personal issues and stuff like that. But I say that to say that somebody like Scruncho is still relevant to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Scruncho.
That's somebody who got me into the, you know what I'm saying? Who who ushered me into the stand-up comedy world. Scruncho been trying to get on for the longest and he don't get the respect that he's
That's
owed.
True.
You know what I mean? But he's a prime example of just do the work.
Yeah.
Keep going. Do the work. Now you're hearing his name mentioned even more.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me smile. I sit back and smile and say, go big, bro, because you're finally getting the recognition.
Yeah.
Some people don't get a second, you know what I'm saying, the second lap. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I first seen Scruncho, he was skating on Comic View. He had the guns tattooed on his stomach. He came out skating on, and I said, who is this dude? I had never seen nobody like him. So to meet him and him to take me under his wing, and not to set me up with one, but two comedy shows, and I'm just a kid working in the clothing store, and he walking through, and I'm like, man, I want to be a comedian. He's like, yeah, you funny? And from there, I'm telling him, he's like, say something funny, make me laugh, you know? And from there, he get me on stage. We've been locked in ever since. But that's, to me, that's the prime example of resilience and just not giving up, you know what I mean? Because we know a lot of the same people, and seeing him come up, everybody who's around is equally happy for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Psst, you, come here. Yes, you. Have you been struggling to stay consistent with your content? We've all been there. You told yourself you was gonna post about a year ago, but you have yet to post today. But don't worry, I got you covered. Introducing the Ultimate Content Calendar Blueprint. It is a guide that will show you how to stay consistent with your content for the next 30 days and beyond. It's filled with tips, tools, and ideas to help you take your content to the next level. And guess what? It's completely free. So don't wait because it's gonna go out fast. So make sure you download the Content Calendar Blueprint today. That's a beautiful thing too.
Yeah.
I love to see people thrive.
Yeah.
Like to see people do well. And you know, all the hard work you put in there, it does not go unnoticed.
Thank you.
Like, there's someone watching, there's someone seeing you, and also God is in the background making moves for you. I always say that to people because we sometimes we only looking at just the moment.
Yeah.
But we don't look at, oh, 5 years from now.
Yeah.
God already placed somebody that's going to be in your life is going to take you to the next level, or that one skit or that one role is going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just doing the work, you know. We got to do the work. We got to pray and work.
I appreciate you putting that out there for your viewers, because that's something that, again, I had to learn for myself.
Yeah.
And my best friend tells me all the time, like, people are watching. You never know who's watching. And life has confirmed that for me, just being in certain rooms. That last film I just did, it's a sci-fi, suspense, drama. I wanted to be in a movie with a lot of genres to show my
range. And,
oh my God, this movie gave me everything I needed. Like, it challenged me to the point where I was going home stressing about, like, how do I pull this character out? Like, I wanted to be that embedded into a character. And during the audition process, I knew I had it because the director walked in. I knew he was a director just from the way he was. He was dressed down, but he was still fly. You know what I'm saying? He was the only black dude in the building. So I'm just like, that might be the director. He had all a lot of stuff in his hand. He came in. He was like, what up, Anthony? And I'm like, I didn't even know you knew my name. I'm like, hey, how you doing? He came back. He said, hey, man, you want to know the funniest thing I seen on your page? And I'm like, what? And he had named one of the videos that I had just did, because I said, I ain't did nothing in a minute. I have to post something. And I just threw it up there.
Yeah.
It didn't really do that many numbers. It was something goofy I just threw together. And it was funny, but it wasn't nothing. And he named that specific video. He's like, you know the video where you was acting like you was on the radio station? And the guy had the little fake hairline. And you was acting like you was trying to wipe it off. Man, that was so funny. He walked off. And I said, I got this. I got this part. You know what I'm saying?
Period.
So you never know who is watching. And the most unexpected, it don't have to go viral for somebody to see it and say,
exactly,
hey, I like what he did right there. Maybe he can do this on a big screen. So what you said is perfect. Literally, like, and that's another thing to what I said earlier. Like, if I feel like I've did everything I could in this avenue, I have to let time and life take care of that. You know what I mean? Like you said, God is working in the background. Like, everything takes time.
It does.
There has to, in order for me to get a role, like I tell people who want to get into the business, like, it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. And if you get into this business, think you're just about to jump in and just be an actor, or people hit me up, hey, I want to do that acting shit. To me, that's offensive, because you don't know what comes with it. It's not just being on. Do you know how many times we got to do this take? Do you know how many times? How many times we in the back yawning? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
and bring the same energy.
Yes, and you got to bring the same energy, because if not, you're going to be watching it like, he ain't give me enough energy in that. You know what I'm saying? You're not knowing we did it like 20 times. So it's literally a lot that goes into it. And a lot of people just really don't, like, in order for you to get an acting role, there has to be a role made for you. They have to be looking for a guy that looks like me.
Yeah.
My agent or manager has to see that post and say, oh, yeah, our guy can do that. Then he have to submit my photo. Then the casting directors on the other side, out of the thousands of photos they get, have to say, oh, yeah, he look like he can play the part. Send them the lines. So they send the lines, and my manager or agent send them to me. Then I go over the lines. Then I call somebody up and say, yo, I got this audition I've been going over. I need you to come read these lines with me. Then you come and read the lines. I hand you the script. Okay, everything is highlighted. You say everything else. That's me. Okay, act. I hit record. We do the lines. We act it out. I might do the scene like 10 times because I might fuck up, or I might have to. This is an audition. This is the one to show them it got to be right. And then I take that, chop that up, do a slate. Hi, my name is Anthony Durrell. I'm 6'2 from Los Angeles, California. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. And then send that in. And then wait. And then hope that I get a call back. If you get a call back, now you got to kill it, because you're only with the directors.
Yeah.
Okay, do what you did before. Okay, starting on you, go Anthony now. You got to deliver. If not, they got hundreds of other people that's ready.
Yeah, that's ready.
You got to be ready. And I've had those issues to where I wasn't ready. Like, I didn't know enough about the auditioning process to where I got a call back for a film I wanted. I got the call back. So I get on with the director. He's like, all right, so you ready? And I was like, yeah. He's like, go. I was like, go where? He's like, with the line, we're doing a scene. I'm like, oh, now remind you, I had two other auditions. I had totally forgot what this was. I thought he just wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about, you know what I mean?
Wow.
My manager called me back and was like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. Like a kid, you know what I'm saying? Because I asked for this and I should have known. So that was my one moment I realized, like, okay, this is what a callback is. A callback means you better be sharp, you better be ready. If you ain't got these lines down, you better get them down. So it's a lot of trial and error, but it's a lot that goes into getting a role. And when you finally get that role, guess what? You got to go out and get another one. And that's after you get on set and deliver. Because if you get there, a lot of people crack. A lot of people get that opportunity and crack. So, you know, it's not just get a role in that. How many actors have you seen that you don't see them no more? You know,
lots.
As a kid, I used to grow up like, wow, I don't see this actor no more. And now I see him again. I'm like, oh, he's back, you know, but you don't know how many times this person's been trying to get roles, or they might have been blackballed, or that's a real thing.
No, that is a real thing. I just feel like, you know, the acting world, you see so many people trying to get into acting,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a job.
Yes.
You know, you really have to be prepared for it. And I think it goes back to professionalism and young people trying to get into those roles and transitioning from skits to getting on camera.
Yes.
Now, how is that process?
It's a lot of, it's two different worlds.
It's two
total different worlds. It's not what people think it is. I think shooting with people like, not, I wouldn't say Ja, but Sade, because Sade uses scripts. So even though she'll come off script a little bit, but shooting with Sade, she uses script. So, but other than that, like somebody like a Ja, he'll just tell you what you're saying and he'll make it easy for people who can't go. But when you're on set, don't go over there. Don't touch that. Don't sit there. Move. Hurry up. Wait. Be quiet. Don't say nothing to him. Don't look at him. Don't eat that food. It's a lot of stuff that you have to learn on top of when it's time to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the cameras on you. Behind those cameras, people don't really think about what's behind it. Behind the cameras, you got the directors looking at you like this. You have hundreds of people on set, even behind the scenes, watching the screens to see if you're going to mess up or if you're going to miss your choreography. And then guess what? Every time you do another take, that's thousands of dollars. You cost the studio money.
Okay.
You got to one take it. What do you mean? How did you not know this? You got a whole trailer back there. Why wouldn't you study in your lines?
Woo.
So you got to understand, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So let word get around that you get on set and you choke up. You think you're going to be getting called in?
Nope.
No. So you got to deliver. It's a lot of shutting the world out and really locking into this character. Mm. Who is this character? Am I being myself in the situation, or am I making a whole new character? If so, how deep am I going? If I am going deep, you know, am I changing my voice? I did a movie where I played a Russian weightlifter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first like film, like on my own. It was a short film. I think it was like 20 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. But I played a Russian weightlifter. So I had to meet with a dialect coach, and she teach me to talk more like Russian to make more of the film. But before, it's not easy, but I learned.
Okay.
You know? So having to do that, lock in, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. And then getting on set after I meet with the dialect coach and the director. I say, you've been working with the dialect coach? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, let me hear something. And I'm like, good morning. He's like, a little sharper than that. I'm like, okay. And then they leave you with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to, it's a lot that goes into doing this. A lot of people will cry and walk off set. Because I've had those moments where I'm like, the pressure is on. You want to act? Okay, get in front of the camera. I keep looking into the lens. Hey, Anthony, you keep looking into the lens. Huh? Okay. I just did Lincoln Lawyer. I looked into the lens like 4 times.
Jeez.
Do you know how much I was so mad at myself? But the camera was right here.
Yeah.
And I was like, Anthony, okay.
I know what you mean.
The director came over there and was like, so you keep looking at the camera. We can't have you look at the camera. How about you don't just, no, I can do it. I can do it.
You got to shut it out like it's not fair.
It was a lot of pressure, but it's those learning experiences, you know, that I learned from, you know. So, you know, just pay attention, take notes, be humble. And just really, really go into the situation ready to learn. If you go in there acting like you know shit, you're going to fall flat on your face. It's too many mistakes that you can make on accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In any professionalism, let alone somewhere that's so, you have so many different hands on deck.
Yeah.
You know, everybody does something and everybody matters. When I did, you mentioned the Nate Parker American Skin.
Mm-hmm.
That was
amazing film.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to get that role. That was God.
Wow.
I did not know I was gonna get that role. I asked Nate, "How did I get the role?" I didn't audition. I said, "How did I get the role?" He said, "I was looking at the pictures and I wanted you." Do you know what that did to my spirit? I said, and I was at this moment in time, I was doubting, you know, a lot. Like, am I really supposed to be here? I grew up watching Nate Parker, Red Tails, and The Secret Life of the Birds and Bees. I think that was the other, you know, The Great Debaters. I used to watch these movies with my little brother, wishing like, I want to be in this movie.
Yeah.
And to go on set, thinking I'm an extra. And I see now, I'm like, oh shit, that's Nate Parker. I was like, that's cool. I know not to say shit to him. I'm an extra. You don't talk to the, you know what I'm saying? Shut up. See, another guy I just did a film with. I did this film called Prison Web with Foster Boy with Shaquille O'Neal produced it, and my boy Shaney P was the main character. So I seen Shaney P. I'm like, Shaney, what up? He's like, what's up, bro? He showed me love. Typically, people be acting funny. He showed me love. Yeah. So I know that's a good sign. So now I'm standing closer to Nate, but I know not to say anything to him. He comes up. He walks up the stairs. He's like, good morning. I'm like, I almost didn't speak because I'm not used to the main actor speaking to extra. So I was like, good morning. It was so, you know what I'm saying? He was already had walked by. And he comes back up. He's like, all right, so you're going to be standing here next to me. I'm like, me? Me? Now, remind you, I can act my ass off, but Nate Parker telling me I'm standing next to him. So I was like, oh. Well, if anything, I'm going to get, like, some good, like, exposure because I'm sitting right next to Nate. And he's like, so in this scene, we're just protesting. You're just angry. You're upset. You know what I'm saying? Just for Kajani. And I was like, okay. So I was like, okay, I'm right here next to Nate. Let me make sure they see me good. You know what I'm saying? I was like, how they're not going to see me? Yeah. And this was the protest scene in front of the the court building when he had first went to protest. So after we're done, I'm thinking like, damn, that was a cool day. You know, I got to yell next to Nate Parker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He came back and said, I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm an extra. He was like, no, I know. See you tomorrow. See costumes. They'll tell you what to wear.
Wow.
I'm like, all right. So I go back to costumes. Yeah, just wear, you know, just something that you can get messy in. Or, you know, and I'm like, all right. So show the next day, I had like a little gray sweater on. And I didn't know this was going to be my wardrobe for the film. You know what I'm saying? It was just something I was just wearing to set. And I got there and he was like, let's go back there and get him, you know, dressed in the wardrobe and makeup. So I'm like, I'm going to makeup? Like, I'm not.
Okay.
So I go to makeup and Nate's back there. Nate has on a bulletproof vest and he has on tactical pants. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on today? Like, we was at a protest. How is he wearing this? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like, be cool. You know what I'm saying? Don't look too much. He's like, good morning, man. I'm like, hey, good morning. You know, he was like, yeah, yeah. So you ready for the day? I was like, yeah, yep. Still not knowing what I'm doing. He was like, all right, Anthony, let's get you over to get your vest. I said, a vest? I'm wearing a vest? All right. But I didn't have no vest to fit me. They only had a small-ass vest. That became kind of like I'm the baby Huey, the big.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because my vest was small as hell. After that, I walked into the back room. And it was like, yeah, you can go ahead and head the set. So now I'm walking through thinking like, I didn't know I was coming back today, let alone to be. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't have no lines. But I'm like, Nate Parker got on the vest. I got on the vest.
Period.
I'm going to be seen with Nate Parker wearing a vest. Come this is going to be hard. I turn the corner, standing there messing with his phone. He look up. Good morning, brother. Amari Hardwick. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, yeah, good morning. What's your name? I was like, Anthony. He's like, Tone. Good morning, Tone. I was like, yeah, I tell you, Tone. You know, so at that moment, after I seen Amari, and we connected, he asked me my name, and we got acquainted. That proceeded to be one of the best sets I was on. And like I told you, I like to pay attention when I'm on set.
Yeah.
Nate made it his business to go around and remember everybody's name. Even the lady who was coming to mark off, he was like, what's your name? And let's just say her name was Sandra. He was like, Sandra, 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 Sandra. People who were making the food. He had stopped the set at one point because somebody was being disrespectful to somebody else. He was like, we're not doing that. Like, I'm talking about one of the most humble, most respectful. The craziest part about all of that is, after that, he had hired me to come work security at his grand opener. He was like, man, I'll pay you just to, you know, come out for your time. You know, he's like, it's crazy how life just happens sometimes. You know what I mean? When you're just doing what you're supposed to do. Like, even with working out, like, because I know you had asked me about the fitness stuff. I stopped paying attention to when I would see the results. I just made it a part of my life. Just like going for my dreams. Like if I don't see, a lot of people say, well, I'm gonna get into acting, but if I don't get a role in 2 years, I'm quitting. I was like, oh, well, don't even
try.
You can't time it like that, you know? So it's all in timing and just work. You never know. You never know. A lot of times when people got the best records, even what was that that song we like back in the day? What it is, ho. What's up? And they asked Lil Jon where he got that Ricky. They asked him where he got it from.
Oh yeah.
He said, man, you ain't gonna believe it. I was at the studio and I leaned back in the chair and it squeaked. And Ricky?
Crazy.
And he said they made that into the sample and that every time we hear that, we were like, hey! And that was him rocking in the chair. Sitting back in the chair. That's where the sound came. We thinking it's the bed squeaking.
Yeah,
it's him in the chair in the studio. That's life.
That's life. I say that all the time. That's life, man. Wow. Like, just never know what's going to happen, y'all. Stay focused.
Yes.
Do the work, y'all. Yes. Faith without works is dead. Mm. And, you know, you do music, too. Yeah. Let's not skip over the music. Because you're super talented. And I told you that when I first met you. I was like, you're so talented.
Yeah, you had me perform at your show.
Yes. He performed at my first show when I launched my first tech company.
Yeah.
And he performed. And I was like, this dude is so talented. Like, you know, and it's just amazing to see you in so many different forms of creativity and art.
Thank you.
And music is one of those things I think you're just great at.
Thank you.
Like, you're a good writer. And then your cadence when you rap your songs, like, second to none to me.
Thank you.
So, like, for you, like, how has music showed up in your life as this light?
It always has been. Even, you know, having a troubled childhood, mom's was a full-blown drug addict. Dad was a functioning drug addict. Mom was full-blown prostituting out in the streets. Wouldn't see her for years at a time.
Oh, wow.
And there was this one song that I would hear to make me think about her all the time. It's an old school song. It was, I Wanna Go Outside.
Okay.
In the rain. You never heard that song? It may sound crazy. You never heard that song?
I don't know that song.
What?
I gotta hear it.
Yeah, it's fire. But thinking back to that, and like I said, even growing up in my household, we always played music. So even now when I hear certain songs, it'll take me back to certain points and times in my life. You know, depending on where I was, I'm like, oh, wow, it take me back to that moment. So at some point, music became not just something I would listen to feel peace and work through things, but also a way to communicate to people, you know? And I started to find that a lot of people, like men who didn't know how to express themselves romantically, like, bro, I just played this song for my girl. I didn't know how to say what I felt. Or, you know, how you said what you was going through with your family. I went through the same thing. Or how you say you go through this with friends and life. And, you know, you really helped me through something. When somebody told me that, I said, oh, that's all I needed to hear. Even if it's just one person. Because I'm like, the possibilities of me reaching other people is endless. Even if I never hear that person say thank you or say you touched my life.
Yeah.
Having somebody come to me and tell me that was all the confirmation I needed from the universe. Like, hey, man, you touched my life. And I hear it again from somebody else. I'm like, okay, I got to keep going. Even if I take some time off to do acting, to me, that's still a form of expression. I can make you laugh. You know what I mean? If I can make you feel something. If I can draw you in. If I can give you a message. Any way, shape, or form. If I can take your mind off of whatever you're going through in the moment, and if I can do that through acting and music, I'm going to get you on both ends. You know, if you got something you want to watch or something you just want to hear, you know? So that's why I worked on my voice, because when I first started rapping, I hated my rap voice. It was so raspy. And my boy was like, man, this is going to set you apart from everybody else. I'm like, nah, I hate it. But I started to use it like an instrument. So certain songs, like, my voice would be deeper, it'd be more raspy, it'd be sharper, my cadence, depending on how I change my cadence up. I really want to paint a picture with I don't want it to just be no copy, cut, and paste.
Yeah.
You know, what are we talking about? That's why I don't lie in my music. What are we talking about? You know, I never lie, I don't have a song I've ever lied in. If it's something that I can't get behind, I'm like, nah, that ain't me. I get on there and say something different and say what I've done and what I'm about.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't lie in my music. So, you know, because again, I don't want to put out something that I wouldn't live by or something that I wouldn't do and advise somebody else to do something that I wouldn't do, you know? So, yeah.
Wow. So you released 4 mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 mixtapes and then your freshman album.
Yes.
So tell me about the latest album.
The freshman album is called Soul Food. And that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take people on a journey because I haven't released any official music of my own as far as like something that, you know, it's tangible that I bought the beat. And, you know, mostly, like I said, it was mixtapes. So I wanted to show people I can rap. I wanted to create a buzz. I wanted to not, if I was being honest, not just to prove to myself, but to other people I could rap. Because that's when people shunned me when I first started. You know, people who I looked up to that I was just doing video and photo. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I rap. And they're like, yeah, all right. So the same cats who kind of, I know in the industry, sometimes you hear about people who are gatekeepers and have people gatekeeping studios from me.
Oh, you know, they wouldn't,
you know, oh man, I don't know, because they played me. So I was like, man, I'm gonna prove to them I can rap. So I started dropping music videos and I'm shooting these videos myself. Or if you don't know how to work the camera, I'm gonna teach you real quick. Hold this camera, I gotta shoot this video. And that's that drive I had at the time, because I felt like I had to prove something to people. And once I prove I can rap, that's when I kind of, like, you know what I mean, like, life really hit me and I kind of, like, I took the back seat to it. But instead of doing that, I told myself, well, instead of trying to prove to people you can rap, start talking about stuff now. You know what I mean? It's okay now. You can rap. You proved it already. You got bars. Start talking about stuff. Start making songs. Mm-hmm. Don't just get beats and just rap over. Make songs.
Yeah.
So when I did that, I wanted to make sure it wasn't on the mixtape. I wanted to make sure it was on the album. Mm-hmm. So with life happening and life being what it was, I felt like it was the perfect time because I'm going through a lot and I'm just going to take everything I'm going through. Pause for a second. At this time, I wanted to take everything I was going through and compact it into something that I felt like people can digest at some point, you know, soul food. So it literally takes you on a journey from something poetic, some gangster shit, some storytelling shit, love songs, heartbreak songs, you broke my heart, I'm doing better now songs, like whatever it is, I feel like it's going to be something on there for everybody. So even if you don't like tracks 1 through 4, you got to listen to 5 through, you know what I'm saying, whatever else, you know? Yeah. So, that's what Soul Food is about, you know? So there's many more on the way. I got a lot of new music that just never got put on the plate, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I love that. Is there, what's next for you as far as just career, life? Mm. Like, what's next?
You know, if I knew, I would tell you.
Come on now.
I can't, you know, I'm going to keep going, you know. I got a lot of music that I got coming out. I just got this new camera, so I'm going crazy. I've been filming a lot, so... You know, now I don't have anything holding me back because at first I was shooting 1080p, which is a lower quality for the industry. So now I'm shooting 4K, 8K. So anybody want to shoot, let me know. I've just been getting with different, you know, creators and upping my resources, meeting different people on set, connecting, giving out my cards, networking. So everything is just falling into place. Like these women I'm shooting with tomorrow, doing these skits with. These are women who are also out here grinding, and we met online, and it's like, yo, we should shoot some stuff. Yeah, it'd be funny. We should shoot this. And now we shooting 5 skits and doing 2 of hers. She doing 2 of mine, and there's one we doing together, you know? So I don't know. I think that's the best part of it all is not knowing what's next, you know?
Yeah. That's the beauty in the journey.
Because I don't know. I didn't know I was going to be on Young Rock. I was at Jai House filming Cuddle Season when I got the call. I ran out crying. I ran up 3 blocks crying.
Really?
Crying. I ran crying. Because I got the call back that I got the... I got 2 callbacks saying that I was one of the finalists. They didn't know. And I'm sitting there talking to Jai. And we was in this room, in the room we were about to shoot in, and I'm laid on the bed, pause, because he's sitting up, he's telling me what we doing. I'm like, okay, for sure, okay. And I look at my phone, I'm like, hold on, my manager calling. And I looked at him, he said, I'm going to step out, I think I know what that is. And this is going to be whether I got the role or not. So I picked up the phone, and I'm like, hello? And she's like, honey, you got it? I start screaming. I
ran.
I was just running, crying. I know people looking like, what's wrong with this dude? And that's when I had got the news. Like, I got 3 episodes on NBC Young Rock. And after that, I just knew, like, man, ain't no giving up. You never know, man.
You never know.
You drove out here to film with Jai, just trying to get it. You know what I'm saying? Trying to figure it out. And then you get the call that you got this role, and you got to go out of town, and you going for weeks at a time. They flying you out first class. I'm laid back all the way.
Come on, first class.
Black presidential trucks. They giving you food allowance for the day in 5-star hotel. It was. I felt like I was living in a dream. I felt like I was living in a dream. I'm like, this can't be. I'm looking out the window like, I'm really on a plane going to be on a Rocks TV show? Like,
come on.
The first time I had watched it, which is crazy. First time I watched it is because one of this comedian shot with, his name is Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate had just landed a role on the show. So just being supportive, I was like, oh, let me go check the show out. And I saw him on the show. I'm like, damn, that'd be cool for me to get on the show. And years later, I'm playing Bad News Brown. Who would have thought?
Because why not?
Damn it. Because why not? Get the hoodie made. Get the damn hoodie made.
Hoodies, okay? So what is your, for the closing remarks, I always tell people, like, if you had to speak to your younger self and to the youth now, like, what advice would you give them right now?
It's a lot, but in a couple words, I would say find yourself and love yourself. And what I mean by that is, because a lot of people, it might sound kind of like cliche, but a lot of people are out here trying to be what other people want them to be and fit in with society standards. And, you know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, they say, and I'm like, who the fuck is they? Who's they? And people can't tell you who they is. And they'll look around like, oh, yeah, like, who are you? What do you like? Individuality is another thing that's missing from the world.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the most beautiful thing is you being the individual, me being an individual, and me bringing something different, me having a different perspective. Even if we don't agree, I have a different way of saying some things. I have a different way of dressing. I have a different way of carrying myself. And a lot of times in life, I would let what other people said to me alter how I molded myself, as opposed to saying, fuck all of that. This is what I'm making. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And be comfortable in that. And that's what's going on now at the age I'm at now. And if I can help somebody else reach that point before me, you know what I mean? That's what it's about. So I would say, like, find yourself and love yourself. Because the way I love myself now is I can't put it into words, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
I can tell you love yourself, too.
Thank you.
It's in the eyes, y'all.
Yeah.
So let everybody know where they can find you, website, ads, everything.
Everything is Anthony Durrell TV. I made it off easy for y'all. Anthony Durrell TV on all platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, on all streaming platforms. Look me up, Anthony Durrell.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
You
like, your presence has been just a great light on the show.
You.
And we're going to talk a little more later.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got some things that we need to work on.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow the show, follow at Keys to the Culture Podcast on all platforms. If you want to follow me, because you love me, you like my energy, at I Am My Isha. And thank you so much for watching. We'll see you.